Blog Talk Radio.
Today on Mr. Media, I'll talk to historical romance novelist Tracy Ann Warren, whose latest hot and ready romp back to 1812 is titled Wicked Delights of a Bridal Bed. No kidding. Stick around.
Hey, did you know that you can listen to the latest Mr. Media show right on your phone with the Stitcher app? Stitcher is smart radio for your smartphone. Mr. Media is on demand and on the go with Stitcher. Download Stitcher for your phone today. Get the free app at www.stitcher.com. That's STITCHER.com.
So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is a Mr. Media interview. You know, MrMedia.com, MRMedia.com. Stop by and check it out. There are more than 600 archived celebrity interviews for your listening pleasure. The show is brought to you today by thepartyauthority.us. Planning a wedding, mitzvah, or corporate event? For any and all occasions, call the Party Authority nationwide at 1-800-DIAL-DJS. That's 1-800-342-5357, where one call does it all. And of course, Mr. Media is recorded live before a studio audience of extremely horny but refined old neighborhood wives in the new media capital of the world and home of the best team in baseball, St. Petersburg, Florida. Now, before I bring on today's guest, historical romance novelist Tracy Ann Warren, let me describe my strategy for reading any historical romance novel with which I might be presented. Sorry, Tracy, but it's true. And I'm sure I'm not the only guy who would respond that way. I'm equally certain this comes as no surprise to you either. My explanation for reading Tracy Ann Warren's new story, however, is strictly a matter of the title. What red-blooded male could resist a few pages of something called Wicked Delights of a Bridal Bed? My God. And here's how I read it. Blah, 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 blah. Hot sex. Blah, blah. Hey, back up a minute. Whoa. Hot sex. Blah, blah. And just when the hot sex slowed down, I was so caught up in every word that I couldn't avoid an ingenious twist in the story that caused me to continue reading, albeit with heightened interest in our heroine, Lady Mallory. And that's, ladies and gentlemen, why I'm introducing an historical romance novelist to our little program. Tracy Ann Warren, welcome to Mr. Media.
Hi, Bob. It's great to be here with you today.
Great to be here with you. Thanks for your time. Let's get right to it. How does one do research on 19th century sexual practices?
Well, I think sexual practices pretty much go back to the caveman times. So I don't really have to do specific research on that other than just, you know, the normal kind. but what I do research on is the 19th century. The history and the social mores and the clothes and the carriages and the parties and all the interesting things about the Napoleonic War era, which is when I write. I write during Jane Austen's period, and it's just very it's full of all sorts of interesting events and people, and it's a very romantic period of time, too. And I think that's one of the reasons readers and writers really enjoy the Regency.
Well, now I got to ask you, the hero of our story purports to know, I don't know, what is it, 37 different sexual positions he teases Lady Mallory
with? Well, that is true. He is a ladies' man. He's very good in bed. she's lucky in her future choice of husband.
Well, so just so people don't think I'm just being lascivious for no reason, I mean, you know, you describe several things that they do, and I'm thinking, okay, 1812, didn't have the access to the internet. I don't imagine the Kama Sutra was terribly widely distributed at that point. So, you know, you had to do a little research to know that he would even know that there were 37 different positions.
Well, actually, you might be interested to know that in some of my historical research, I did find out about a book that was written in the actually in the 15th century that dealt with all sorts of sexual positions. And in fact, I believe one of the popes read the book, of all things. It was written by an Italian aristocrat, and he had illustrations and everything. So I think, you know, probably especially men who had money and were educated might have come across something like that.
Okay. Now, that's a fair answer. See, I got that. I like that. I mean, I mentioned in the introduction, you know, a little in jest, but not entirely. I mean, you don't expect a lot of men to be reading these books, do you?
Well, no, I don't. I wish more men would try romances, because I think they get, in a way, a bad rap because they're a lot more, you know, obviously they do have sex scenes in them, but, you know, sex is hopefully is part of a healthy relationship, especially among committed people. You would hope that they would have a sexual relationship. But the stories have so much more to them. You know, I'm not writing erotica. The focus of my books is not the sex. The focus of my books is to tell a good story and to tell, you know, a romantic story, and also have an interesting plot that someone would enjoy. And I do have a few male readers, and I think they really, from what they told me, you know, they enjoy the historical aspects of the book. And they like the sex, too.
Well, I don't know. I mean, let me, and I, this is finely written. I have no quibble with the writing. But, I mean, it's hard to get a man to read a book that starts off thus. Seated in the elegantly comfortable surroundings of her bedchamber, Lady Mallory Byron stroked idle fingers over the cat in her lap, his soft, inky fur a nearly perfect match for the solemn black of her gown. I'm sorry. I got to skip to the sex. I mean, it's lovely. I mean, it's written, you know, and I'm sure that women love it, but I just don't see a lot of guys. And that's why I know that's not the core of your audience, but I just
Well,
I
no, it's not. Mostly, I would agree that most romance is written by women for women. And it's a very... However, I will say that it's one of the top money-making genres of fiction. In fact, I think it is the top money-making genre of fiction. So there are a lot of women who enjoy it. There are a lot of women in the population, and so I'm happy to provide entertainment that they enjoy.
Well, I completely get that. Now, why the 19th century? You know, of all the eras and all the places, and 19th century... Great Britain. It's not, I'm, you know, I don't have this in front of me. I think, are you in, where are you, in Baltimore, in Ohio?
I'm actually in Baltimore.
Ohio.
Yeah, I was born and raised in Ohio, but I moved to Maryland several years ago, and so I live a bit north of Baltimore now.
So why are you telling stories about 19th century England, early 19th century England?
Well, yeah, it is early 19th century. It's the, you know, early 1800s. And I guess for me, one of the reasons I studied history in college. I have a degree in history. And I really have always loved that period of time and a little bit earlier, the colonial period, the Georgian period. And I just really enjoy the depth and the nuance to British history. I think there's so much to it. And, of course, they, you know, soon after that became the dominant power in the world. And it's just a really interesting period of time. I guess one of the reasons I like the Regency is because it's right before the Industrial Revolution. And it's sort of that last bit of time when I think they were starting to be what we would consider modern in a way, and yet they still have all the trappings of the old world. They still, you know, with carriages and, you know, they're not taking the train. And, you know, candlelight and fireplaces and just all the things. And then, like
chamber
I said,
pots.
Exactly. That is true. That is true.
Ladies in waiting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Of course, they still have ladies in waiting, ironically. Yeah. They just don't do quite the same things, I don't think. But because I think the Queen has ladies in waiting, if I'm not mistaken. And but I just, and then, you know, you have the, you know, Napoleonic conflict going on, and I think that adds a lot of interest and good, you know, good elements to add to a story. And so I just really enjoy that period.
And this is, I know you've written a couple of these from this period and with this family. Have they all been? Because I, you know, I'm being honest. I have not. This is the only one in the series that I've read.
Well, actually, this is my 10th book, and all of my books are set in this period of time.
Okay.
And all but one are set in England. I have one that's set in Ireland in a contemporary, you know, it's contemporary to the early 1800s. And so this Wicked Delights of a Bridal Bed is the fourth book in my Byron's of Bravern series. And that is about a family. It has eight siblings. And I've done four of the siblings so far, including Mallory's, whose book is just coming out. And then I plan to do the other four siblings. So they're a lot of fun. And if people are wondering, you know, you can start really anywhere in the series and I think really enjoy the book because each one can stand alone, but they are connected within the, you know, you'll see recurrent characters and everything.
Mm. And I have to say, for all the, you know, the joking around I'm doing, there's a, you know, there's a long build to the hot sex. And then there's a great twist in the story that completely caught me by surprise. And I'm not kidding. I had to read every word from that point forward.
Well, wonderful.
Kind of, you know, and I won't give it away. I'm not that kind of person. But it's a even if you're in the habit of reading these types of books, if you have not read any of Tracy Ann Warren's stories, I recommend you start out with this one because the twist is so worth getting to. It just it was very clever.
Well, I know exactly the twist you mean, Bob, and
I'm
glad that you enjoyed it. I don't want to reveal what it is because I want people to be surprised when they get to that part of the story.
Yeah, no, it's a fun even for a man. It just made it a lot of fun to read.
Well, thank you.
Sure. And you know, all of these remarks are meant very tongue in cheek. I mean what I say about you know the twist and it was fun read. Now. How much you've written 10 books? This is the fourth in the series. How far can you take the Byrons? I mean, it seems to me, having read many years ago the I wish I could think of what it was called the Bicentennial series back in 1976, where we got this family from the Revolutionary War and the author followed them all the way through, and you know each book was like 1,000 pages and it went on and on. I mean, it seems like you could take this family and basically write about them for the rest of your lives.
Well, I could, but my plan for it at this point anyway is, you know, I'm trying to do a book for each of the siblings. So even though the other characters will, you know, show up in the books, the main focus of each story is going to be one, you know, one of the brothers or one of the two sisters, and then the person that they meet that they will end up falling in love with. And spending their life with, and so you know, I guess there are. I know there are other successful romance series that I believe Stephanie Lawrence has one. I think she's gone 15 or 16 books now with the Sinsters, and I know Julia Quinn had a family, the Bridgertons, that went for quite a few books. But right now, I'm planning on 8. And we'll see if I'm inspired to write about any more on the Byrons before I move on.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and I mean a quick break. This is Bob Andelman, and you're listening to the Mr. Media interview with novelist Tracy Ann Warren, who's the author of the new book, Wicked Delights of a Bridal Bed. No, I can't get enough of saying that out loud. Sorry. We'll be right back.
Ever thought of hosting your own radio show? Now you can by registering at blogtalkradio.com. While you're there, check out our selection of premium packages. To start your own show today, visit blogtalkradio.com.
Hey, did you know that you can listen to the latest Mr. Media show right on your phone with the Stitcher app? Stitcher is smart radio for your smartphone. Mr. Media is on demand and on the go with Stitcher. Download Stitcher for your phone today. Get the free app at www.stitcher.com. That's STITCHER.com.
And this is Bob Andelman, and you're listening to the Mr. Media Radio interview with historical romance novelist Tracy Ann Warren, author of the new book, Wicked Delights of a Bridal Bed. Tracy, tell me this. How are romance writers being affected by the big move to e-books and the iPad and the Kindle? Has that impacted you either for good or for worse?
Well, I think in a way the jury's still out on it. I think everybody is trying to, you know, in the industry at large and with, you know, romance folks, I think we're all trying to see, you know, what the ultimate impact of e-books and all the new media is going to be. I guess, you know, it changes the dynamic as far as, you know, the traditional model of people obviously going and buying print books in bookstores. But I suppose from an author perspective, you know, people reading my books, whether they're electronic or printed, they're still, you know, buying and reading my books. So I guess that's what, you know, in a way, I'm trying to see a good side to the new media. And so, But I do think it's a definite paradigm shift, and it's sort of an interesting time. So we'll have to see, you know, if people continue to want to have a physical book in their hands, or if they're happy, you know, to move to strictly an electronic format.
I know from my own experience, my 10th book came out in May. They're all nonfiction, and this is the first year that the book on Kindle has just outperformed the hardcover, and I just thought that was fascinating to watch. I don't know, you know, it's all relative in many ways that we'll never know because Amazon won't tell us, but you know, it's interesting to see the book at like 5,000 on the Kindle list or 500 or, and then, you know, 10,000 on the hardcover list. So,
yeah, it's true. I do know for some of my older titles, I was noticing that they seem to be selling more ebook than print. And I think that's interesting as well. I think my new releases are still selling, you know, I know they are. They're still selling considerably more in print. But but yeah, you know, it's I don't know, it's an interesting change, and it'll be, I guess, I don't know, I think the industry's trying to, you know, see what's going to happen and either make the switch or not. I don't know.
Mm. Well, speaking of things modern, how much have romance novels changed since the first time you wrote one to now?
Well, I don't know that there's been, you know, a significant change as far as, you know, I suppose obviously, you know, you're saying from a, you know, I guess I'm thinking as far as the genre itself, I think is still strong. I guess, you know, different subgenres, so to speak, wax and wane a little bit. For instance, when I was first published, Chick Lit was incredibly popular. Everybody was, you know, wanting Chick Lit books. And I think those are not doing as well now as they used to. And I know when I first published with my historical, there had been a change as far as I know back, actually like in the 70s and 80s, historicals were just the thing. I mean, that's pretty much, you know, I think there were the Harlequin books, and then there were historicals, and that's basically the romance that was out there. Historical really dominated the market. And then I think some of the paranormal came in, and a whole bunch of other subgenres that romance readers enjoy, and things have changed that way. But, you know, I guess I've heard, you know, for years about the historicals, you know, you hear within the industry, you know, within writer circles, I should say, you know, there's always talk at times of, you know, the demise of the historical, but I don't see that. I've had no trouble with, I think readers love historical novels, and I think that they'll, you know, continue.
And what about returning to the topic that we started the show with? My sense, and I don't have a lot of expertise, I really have very little expertise to go on, is that a generation ago, a lot more of the action was implied rather than being graphically described. Is that wrong? Has it always been the way it is now?
Well, I think it depends on the line, the sort of the romance line, because, and I think that's still true, there are, for the romance novels tend to be different, different imprints sort of have a different sensuality level. And So there is a range from sweet books is what it's called, where there really is no sex, and if there's any, it's strictly off camera. I think the most you get is a kiss, and then all the way through to, you know, there's far more sexually explicit books than I write, erotica. I mean, they're really, really sexually explicit. And, you know, I don't know. I think there have always been very, you know, more explicit books for several decades now. And I think it's what the readers are looking for.
So women who make up the largest part of the romance audience, they know, or they quickly discover what type of series is appropriate for their interest.
Yes, they do. I think women, once you start, you know, you pick up a couple books, I think you tend to know, you know, the level of sensuality that you're going to get in your book, and then you choose from there. So for what you like. Now, the one caveat I will make is there used to be a group of historical romances that were more, they're very traditional is how they were described, but they were more a courtly type story, and they really had very little, very little sex in them.
They were like air kisses and, oh, my stars.
Well, they would, you know, it would show, you know, just, I guess all the books show, you know, the courtship, but it would be more, there would be things in the sitting room, you know, they would go to the drawing room and meet, and they would go out riding, and all those things happen in, you know, like my books, but without those would not have the sex in them.
I see.
So, interestingly enough, that line of books is no longer being published, which is sort of sad for the people who enjoy, you know, who enjoyed the lesser sensuality.
Mm.
But they didn't, I guess people like sexy books.
No argument there. Does a romance writer, a historical romance writer, need to feel historically romantic to get in the mood to write a book like this for certain parts of the book?
Well, I think, you know, obviously you get into the mood of the scene, but no more than I think any other, you know, discipline, you know, as far as any other kind of, you know, writing. It's So I, you know, where are you going with this, Bob?
I'm just wondering, you know, what you need to have to, you know, be inspired to write.
I guess just you know, basic knowledge and a good imagination.
All right. I was trying to think if I could find an example here that I could actually share of something like this. Here's a great one. As she'd lain limp and replete against him, he'd murmured they were up to number 36 and promised he'd show her 37 later that night. To her exhausted satisfaction, he more than kept his vow. I mean, you know, you're going to write something like that while you have Larry King on in the background? No.
Well, no, I don't. No. I actually, when I write, I listen to movie soundtracks, instrumental, you know, scores. I listen to movie scores, and I tend to like, you know, things that are sort of romantic or poignant, sometimes a little sad. Amazingly brings out all sorts of emotion. So I have a home office, and that's where I work, and I have my cup of tea, and I put on some sort of mood music, I guess you could say, and I create.
Okay. And romance fans obviously get pretty turned on by the books that they love and they read, but what turns on a romance novelist like yourself?
Well, what are you saying?
I'm just, you know, flowers, movies, books, yourself. I don't know.
Well, I enjoy romance novels. I'm a romance reader myself and have been reading romance since I was a teenager, actually. And so I come to the genre first as a fan and then as a writer. And, of course, I think I can't imagine very many women who don't love flowers. Some nice beeswax candles are nice, and perhaps a nice glass of wine. And a hot bath is nice.
Now, last question, I wondered if this was invented by a publicist or something. But in the back of the book, where they've got your biography, it says that you live in Maryland with a trio of exuberant young Siamese rescue cats and windows full of gorgeous orchids and African violets. That's too stereotypical, isn't it? That's made up.
No, actually, that's me. I have three cats who they are all Siamese rescue cats. I got them from the Virginia Siamese Rescue. So if anybody would like a nice Siamese cat, look them up. They're a great group. And I have three wonderful kitties from them. And I really do grow violets and orchids. And it depends on the time of, their growing pattern as to whether they're currently gorgeous or not.
Got it. Okay, I was just checking. It just sounded too, you know, too, I don't know, it just sounded like, well, you know, you would see that at the end of a movie with Meryl Streep. It says, well, she's now living, you know, in Maryland with her three cats. Okay, I, you know, who am I to argue? Whatever's working for you, it's obviously working. Well, listen, folks, you can find author Tracy Ann Warren's latest novel, Wicked Delights of a Bridal Bed, as well as her nine other books, three more in this series, at great bookstores everywhere, or order them right now at a great price at MrMedia.com, MRMedia.com. Tracy, are you involved with Twitter or Facebook, any of that? Where can people find you?
I am on Facebook, so please find me there at Facebook.com, Tracy Ann Warren. And I also have a website at www.tracyannwarren.com. And you can, if you go to my website, I have all sorts of information on all my books and excerpts and all sorts of other fun information and things about me and my writing. And so please check it out.
Great. Well, Tracy Ann Warren, thank you so much for joining us in Mr. Media today. It was a lot of fun. You're a good sport.
Thank you very much, Bob.
All right. Take care.
Okay. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And for more original interviews with your favorite authors, and we have a lot of author interviews, surf over to our main website, MrMedia.com, MrMedia.com. You can now hear Mr. Media when you're on the go with Stitcher Radio. Stitcher is a free news and talk mobile application. The latest episode of Mr. Media is always available for you. No syncing needed, no memory wasted. It's available for your iPhone, your Palm Pre, Android phones, or your BlackBerry. Downloading is easy, so go to Stitcher.com or check out the App Store for your individual mobile phone. And while you're there, check out some of my favorite online radio shows, including The Business with Kim Masters, Doug Loves Movies, and Sex with Emily. And please take advantage of this great offer for Mr. Media radio listeners. Go to audiblepodcast.com/Mr. Media to get a free audiobook download of your choice when you sign up today. Again, that's audiblepodcast.com/MR Media for your free audiobook. And subscribe to Mr. Media on iTunes and you'll never miss a show. Just search Mr. Media Interviews from within iTunes and subscribe for free. And don't forget to give us a little review and a couple of stars while you're there. You can also listen to the show with a piece of string and a tin can in many locations. If you've got an idea for a guest, email me directly at bob@mrmedia.com, mrmedia.com. You can also follow me on Facebook or on Twitter, twitter.com/Andelman, or on Facebook, just search Mr. Media Interviews. Thanks so much for listening. Always appreciate you giving up a piece of your day and spending it with me. See, there's somebody calling right now. Take care, everybody. See you soon.